the center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The search for answers in Monday's deadly Madison, Wisconsin Christian school shooting goes on. ABC's Lana Moise has more about the 15-year-old girl who took her own life after killing two and leaving six wounded.
ABC News has learned police are focusing on social media accounts associated with the teen, which paint a portrait of a young person gravitating towards potential neo-Nazi ideology and violence. Online posts also showing images of guns and previous school shootings. And a post on X minutes before the shooting that appeared to resemble a white power sign.
Ukraine says its forces were behind the killing of a senior Russian general who headed up the military's biological, nuclear, and chemical programs. A New York judge, Juan Merchan, has refused to dismiss President-elect Trump's hush money felony conviction based on arguments of presidential immunity that his legal team put forward. It is still unclear, however, when or even if sentencing will take place. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Moana 2 remained king of the box office last weekend. In its third weekend of release, the film pulled in over $26 million, putting it in first place yet again. Moana 2 and Wicked have a nice little competition going. Even though Moana 2 broke records, it might not catch Wicked when it comes to the total take. Wicked has pulled in $359 million domestically, and Moana 2 is at $337 million. They are neck and neck, which might be too much of a deficit for Moana 2 to overcome when it comes to the holiday season box office champ. Wicked remains strong at the gate, also finishing in second place last week with $22.5 million. Action-adventure film Kraven the Hunter, starring Russell Crowe and Aaron Taylor-Johnson, is a box office dud, finishing with a disappointing $11 million in its first week of release. Gladiator 2 held strong in fourth place with $7.5 million, and the new animated Lord of the Rings film finished in fifth place with a disappointing total of less than $5 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers rest up. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers players getting an extra day off. Their next game is on Monday Night Football from Lambeau Field against the struggling New Orleans Saints. The Wisconsin Badgers announced that they're welcoming a new quarterback, Danny O'Neill, who started as a true freshman this year for San Diego State. College hoops. After losing three straight last week, the Wisconsin Badgers have dropped out of the AP Top 25. They had been ranked as high as 11th in the nation. They beat Butler over the weekend. Head coach Greg Gard.
I think we were getting better during that stretch, and I think obviously when you play really good teams, you're going to have adversity.
NBA, it's the Bucks and the Thunder tonight in Las Vegas for the NBA Cup. Odds makers have Oklahoma City as 5-point favorites. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers, what the tournament means for the team.
You don't get to get this experience during a regular season. Yeah. This will help us. This will help Oklahoma and Atlanta, Houston, everybody that was here. It's going to help us later.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, Dr. Tim Slecker. Hey, that's me filling in for Dom. Join me and some educated educators for a special episode on what's happening and what needs to happen in our classroom.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today. Our high right around 35 this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, some light snow possible. Around an inch of accumulation. Our low 27. Tomorrow, partly cloudy 29 with more snow on the way late Wednesday night through much of Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Is marijuana legalization a mistake? Elton John thinks so. We'll discuss that and a whole lot more on the next Earl Ingram Show.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 till 10.
If it's going to be a white Christmas, but we do have snow on the way. Come on in, everybody. It's a Tuesday morning. Welcome in. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We want to start you off with weather. Not a lot of changes as far as temperatures. A little cooler today. Still cloudy. Daytime highs expected to be right around 35 degrees with a little bit of a wind out of the west up to 10 miles an hour. But what we want to keep an eye on is what develops after about 5 o'clock this afternoon. Chance of snow in the forecast. We'll find out what that snow looks like as far as volume and really the possibility when Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, joins us in about 15 minutes. Could snow overnight, and that means that we could have a little bit of a drive time issue this afternoon, and it definitely could slow you down on the commute tomorrow morning. We'll see what Stu has to say about that. Wednesday, cloudy skies, 29. Thursday, more snow back in the forecast, 29. Friday, another chance of snow before noon on Friday. And it looks like highs around 27. So like I said, if you're one of those folks that pines for a white Christmas, we'll see what Stu can put together for us. We'll find out what John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, can put together for us as far as advice on the direction of the markets this morning. So far, it looks a little mixed for corn and soybeans. We'll get to that. Speaking of soybeans, we've got the winners of the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. And despite the fact that weather was not friendly to a lot of Wisconsin farmers, we had some pretty doggone good yields out there. I'll recap those for you. It's the holiday season, so dairy farmers of Wisconsin, very excited about the recipes, the entertaining, the educating that you're doing through the holiday season. Charity Seebecker's got more on that. And have you wondered why you can't necessarily find a really tall Christmas tree this year? Interesting story behind that. Greg Han, who's with the Wisconsin Christmas Tree Growers, will give us a little update on what we may not realize. That's all on the way for a Tuesday.
The holiday season is a time for celebration, and nothing brings people together quite like cheese. Whether it's a festive cheese board or a thoughtful gift, Wisconsin cheese is the perfect addition to your holiday plans. Angie Edge, Dairy Company Communications Manager for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, shares that the best part is it's easy to find, whether you're shopping in store or online.
You can go to probably any local Wisconsin retailer and find Wisconsin cheese, because Wisconsin cheese is in 99% of grocery stores across the country. But if you don't have time to get out too, you can simply go online and shop locally by creating a Wisconsin cheese gift basket from your local retailer. And we also really encourage you, when you're out shopping, to look for that Proudly Wisconsin cheese badge, because it's the ultimate identification to let consumers know that it's the highest quality, winning awards, and made with Wisconsin milk.
For recipes, pairings, or ideas for your holiday spread, visit wisconsincheese.com.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
When it comes to finding internships in agriculture, the opportunities are as diverse as the field itself, and there really is no one-size-fits-all approach. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and Dr. Tara Montgomery, director of the School of Agriculture at UW-Platteville, says that the internship process can vary significantly based on students' individual goals and the type of employer that they're targeting. Given the wide range of sectors within agriculture, students have many avenues to explore, and the timeline for securing an internship can differ for each.
It very much depends on the type of internship that they're looking for. What we've found in agriculture is we have students who are looking for a particular company. So let's say that they want to work with Central Star. Central Star has a very specific deadline and, you know, very put together program. And then there might be a local company that is looking for interns, but they don't really have any formal program. And so students are usually finding those as they're talking to family and friends, maybe over the holidays, things like that. A lot of the more formal ones will have a fall deadline, maybe November 1st or December 1st. And so usually when students are looking for internships, they're actually starting at the beginning of the semester in the fall, saying, what is it that I want to do? What's out there? What's available? But we definitely have students that find really good internships all the way through, you know, mid-March, sometimes even into April. So it just kind of depends on what their goals are, where they want to be located, those kinds of things.
Are there a lot of agriculture internship opportunities available compared to maybe the number of students that are seeking them?
I would say that there's way more industry professionals looking for students for internships than there are students to fill those.
So then what types of employers are typically offering internships for our agricultural students? I know there's agriculture encompasses a lot of different things, but what are some of the standouts, I guess?
Well, it goes anywhere from some of the typical big companies like Cargill or Land O'Lakes, any of the reproductive companies, down to banks and farms. Farms offer internships where, you know, a student can go around and learn from the different areas of the farm. You know, everything down to our, you know, a local feed mill or cheese plants. I mean, just everything. There is going to be an internship opportunity with every type of employer that you can think about in agriculture. And the other thing that's really interesting is I encourage students to consider what their goals are. And if they see a job that they're like, I could see myself doing that, reach out to the company. Say, do you offer an internship? And if they don't offer a formal internship, then we, the faculty in the School of Agriculture, can help reach out and let the employer know what we expect from an internship. So what is the kind of give and take? We don't want to have a student who goes out and just milks cows or mucks stalls. That's a summer job. We want some learning to happen, maybe a project, things like that. And so we'll help a student find an internship with an employer, even if it's not sort of your standard, you apply, you compete with other students, you know, that kind of internship.
What qualities or skills are employers looking for in most of our interns? Is it still kind of your sophomore, junior year that you're generally getting an internship, or is it becoming more common to start right away freshman year?
I see a lot of students who are looking at internships during their freshman year, that time between freshman and sophomore. For us, when we do internships as a course credit, we want students to have a little bit more experience in their major for some of the internships. Doing an internship helps you gain skills in verbal communication, in written communication, in working for, you know, as in groups, learning how to manage projects, how to work on your own sometimes. And the other thing is that an internship is the employer's way to take a look at a student who might be a good possible, you know, next summer employee to give more responsibility to, or a student's opportunity to say, I think I'm interested in nutrition. I think I'm interested in agronomy, but I've never really experienced it. So it's a low stakes job interview to say, is this the direction that I want to go, kind of for both the employer and the student.
Based on feedback from students who have done internships, is there a typical pay range or anything like that that stands out of that's maybe just, I'm curious to like the trends over the years of just how internships have changed in their pay and what they're provided, not necessarily just the experience, but, you know, whether that's getting to use super cool software, machinery, the computers, all of the new technology as we evolve.
Yeah, it definitely has increased. When I started here 15, 16 years ago, there were lots of students who had unpaid internships, and for lots of our programs, we didn't require them. We let the students decide. And we have students now who kind of get frustrated by having to go find an internship, but by the time they're done, they see the value in what they did, even if it's not a company that they'll continue to work for. And some of the value is in, you know, pay, for sure. It goes anywhere from $12 or $15 an hour to $25 to $30 an hour, depending on the program and the location, you know, if a student has to travel. Students being able to use more technology out on their internships, it's definitely increased over the years, partly because technology out even on a farm or in a tractor has increased. And so if their employer is wanting a intern to potentially be a future employee, they want them to understand how to use the software, especially if it's a specific type of software that, you know, a company is using that maybe they've created for themselves. But it's really nice because students then bring that feedback back to us, and we look at our curriculum and say, what are the things that we can improve so that students are more prepared for their internships and their future?
Are most of the internships still commonly done during summer months, or is it becoming more common to take an internship throughout the year, whether that's in the maybe the winter or the spring even?
I would say that we probably have, you know, 98% that are going to be during the summer because of the type of work that the students are going to be doing. We do occasionally have some that are done during the spring, but probably the trend that I'm starting to see is that when there's remote work opportunities, once the student takes an internship, that can sometimes lead into continuing an internship into the fall semester because they can do it remotely. So it may continue as an internship, or it may become a part-time job with the company if they can work on things remotely and maybe only come into the office on occasion throughout the semester. So that is starting to become more common as employees are needed. And when you have a good employee over the summer, sometimes you want to keep them through the fall.
Are there any specific industries within ag that is offering more opportunities right now than maybe others? Is there a certain need for certain areas of agriculture, I guess, compared to others that they're searching for?
I would say we see a lot of agronomy internships. There's a lot of need for folks in agronomy, and there's also a lot more flexibility. You know, so your major is not necessarily always dictating what type of internship you get. Having some of that diversity of experience and diversity of thought during an internship is also very valued. So, for example, an animal science student taking an agronomy internship, they're going to learn about what's happening in the field that has an impact on the feed that they're eventually going to feed to their animals, regardless of what species you're talking about. Or an ag business student who's looking for a marketing opportunity, I would say marketing and communications has also increased quite a bit as there's more competition. And so for a company to be able to have a student come in and give some unique perspective on a marketing campaign or understanding a little bit more about a company so that they can design it for a younger audience, I think we're seeing a fair bit more of that than we have over the years.
Do you have any advice for students who maybe are struggling to find an internship or are getting nervous because they don't have one yet?
I would say the biggest piece of advice is expand your horizons. An internship is a very short period of time in the grand scheme of things, 2 or 3 months out of your year, that could give you a very unique opportunity to learn about a different side of agriculture. So a lot of our students that are maybe a little bit more place-based and say, I want to be able to live at home, they might struggle a little bit more because some of our rural communities don't have as many internship opportunities maybe that the student was hoping to get. So expanding their horizons and saying, you know what, for this summer, I am going to be willing to live in a different part of the state or maybe even a different part of the country or try a different type of industry where maybe that wasn't my first choice, but I know I'm going to learn something and gain valuable skills. And especially when we know that employers are looking for communication skills, teamwork skills, not always necessarily the scientific or the specific skills. There's some training that's always going to happen.
Whether it's with big industry names or smaller local farms, students have the chance to learn in diverse environments from hands-on farm work to corporate experiences. Once again, that's Tara Montgomery, director of the School of Agriculture at UW-Platteville, joining us. And as she said, if you're still on the hunt for an internship, it's worth exploring all options out there, as there truly is something out there for everyone in the agriculture industry. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@AmericanFoodsGroup.com.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound?
An opossum playing dead
in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Terry Barr from Civic Media. She is the genie of just about everything will be joining us. We'll talk to the Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County about their latest adoption event. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. News from the Center, WRCE.
Fields freezing pretty quickly now. It'd be nice to lay a layer of snow, especially over the hay fields. Snow out in South Dakota this morning. Low pressure is going to pass off to our south today and tonight, down toward Missouri and Illinois, but will bring some light snow around. Most likely not until late afternoon in the west. Overnight for the rest of us, not even an inch of snow with this first wave. The second system in Alberta, Clipper, bringing with it a better chance Wednesday night into Thursday for a lot of us, where we could talk an inch or maybe a little more. Western Wisconsin, La Crosse, Turtle Claire could be somewhere up in that 2 or even 4 inch range. I'll have the details right after this.
That really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to outyield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
All righty, buddy, let's have that forecast then.
All right, today mostly cloudy skies for a lot of us. Some of that snow builds into western Wisconsin this afternoon, starts spreading further east by late today. Temps in the upper 20s in the northwest, mid-30s south. Tonight, then, some of that snow, an inch or less generally, and nighttime lows dropping toward the very upper teens and mid-20s. The northwest winds 5 to 15. Mostly cloudy Wednesday. Some snow in the west again later afternoon. Still in the mid or even upper 20s a lot of places. More likely with snow late Wednesday night on into Thursday. And even Thursday, low 20s north, upper 20s south. PAM, south winds 5 to 10. But snow and probably some less than ideal driving conditions Thursday into early Friday.
So probably not drive time, though, coming up this afternoon, huh?
No. A little bit of light snow this afternoon. I think we Wisconsinites can handle it.
All right. Good enough, my friend. Well, we'll look forward to getting some measurements and some reaction later this week. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, joining us live on a Tuesday morning. We're going to be catching up with our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He's checking in with us as well, coming up before the top of the hour. And a short Christmas tree? Yes, that's something you may be experiencing. We're going to tell you why that's happening. That's all on the way for a Tuesday morning. Stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Following up our report on states which have passed a Voting Rights Act comes an authorization to collect signatures for the Ohio Voters Bill of Rights, protecting voters from suppression tactics and implementing reforms like automatic voter registration. The state of Ohio tried to reject it. Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost twice objected to the title of the measure, tactically delaying the measure beginning in early 2024 so it couldn't make the November ballot. October 30th, the Ohio Supreme Court ruled that the AG did not have the authority to reject it on the basis of its title. Then in mid-November, the Ohio Ballot Board, headed by Secretary of State Frank LaRose, approved the measure to collect signatures. If passed, the constitutional measure, similar to Michigan's 2022 initiative, would enshrine Ohio voters' right to vote early in person, by mail, or on Election Day, and to do so without intimidation or harassment. It allows voter registration online, at the DMV, and on Election Day. It gives municipalities flexibility to expand polling locations and use drop boxes, and directs that state government and the courts should defer to supporting voters' rights. Given the state's derailment of November's citizen-led redistricting commission, expect more state-sponsored shenanigans before voters weigh in. We have the full text of the Ohio Voters Bill of Rights at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide Text to Win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The search for answers in Monday's deadly Madison, Wisconsin Christian school shooting goes on. ABC's Lana Moise has more about the 15-year-old girl who took her own life after killing two and leaving six wounded.
ABC News has learned police are focusing on social media accounts associated with the team, which paint a portrait of a young person gravitating towards potential neo-Nazi ideology and violence. Online posts also showing images of guns and previous school shootings, and a post on X minutes before the shooting that appeared to resemble a white power sign.
Ukraine says its forces were behind the killing of a senior Russian general who headed up the military's biological, nuclear, and chemical programs. A New York judge, Juan Merchan, has refused to dismiss President-elect Trump's hush money felony conviction based on arguments of presidential immunity that his legal team put forward. It is still unclear, however, when or even if sentencing will take place. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lisa Kudrow is not a fan of AI and let Tom Hanks know about it. Kudrow appeared on the Armchair Expert podcast and referenced Hanks' recent film, Here, in which AI helped depict Hanks and co-star Robin Wright over the course of several decades. Kudrow criticized Hanks and director Robert Zemeckis, saying it could affect the need for actors and that it was an endorsement for AI, adding that it might not ruin everything, but you will basically just be licensing actors' images and not letting them actually act. There is a new teaser trailer for White Lotus Season 3. The third installment of the show will be set in Thailand. Mike White returns as the show's creator and will also direct the season as he did the previous two. Season 3 stars Carrie Coons, Leslie Bibb, Parker Posey, and Walton Goggins. Season 2 won the Emmy for Best Drama Series. Season 3 drops February 16th on HBO. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers rest up. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers players getting an extra day off. Their next game is on Monday Night Football from Lambeau Field against the struggling New Orleans Saints. The Wisconsin Badgers announced that they're welcoming a new quarterback, Danny O'Neill, who started as a true freshman this year for San Diego State. College hoops. After losing three straight last week, the Wisconsin Badgers have dropped out of the AP Top 25. They had been ranked as high as 11th in the nation. They beat Butler over the weekend. Head coach Greg Gard.
I think we were getting better during that stretch, and I think obviously when you play really good teams, you're going to have adversity.
NBA, it's the Bucks and the Thunder tonight in Las Vegas for the NBA Cup. Odds makers have Oklahoma City as 5-point favorites. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers, what the tournament means for the team.
You don't get to get this experience during a regular season. Yeah. This will help us. This will help Oklahoma and Atlanta, Houston, everybody that was here. It's going to help us later.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome nationally syndicated Tribune Media columnist and comedian Greg Schwemm and marketing director of the Marinette Community Rec Center, Sean Katzbach, joins the show to talk about the STEAM concert.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today. Our high right around 35 this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, some light snow possible. Around an inch of accumulation. Our low 27. Tomorrow, partly cloudy 29 with more snow on the way late Wednesday night through much of Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
It's the center of the Kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though, hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year, but do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500-square-foot corner bakery to offering our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massanellis says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s. And it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you can't have just one slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of, like, why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. News from the center, WRCE.
It was a quarterback from Maryland. I know he was up here at the same time Tanner Koziol was and a couple other guys.
Feel like you can't find a really tall Christmas tree this year at the vendors that you're working with? You're not losing your mind. It's not really about the vendors you're working with. It's about the Christmas tree growing cycle. That's what I do. Welcome back. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. We've got that story for you. If you've been kind of wondering, hey, all these trees look a little on the short side this year, you might be surprised at why that's the case. Greg Hahn, who is the organizer with the Wisconsin Christmas Tree Growers, he's a producer himself outside of Oregon, shared the insights with us. That's on the way. This is the 17th day of December, by the way, and a couple things you might want to remember. On this day back in 1903, the Wright Flyer took flight. The powered aircraft made by the Wright brothers was the first such aircraft to take flight. They did it on this day in 1903. On this day, 1989, first episode of The Simpsons aired. American animated series directed by Matt Groening, set in the fictional town of Springfield, follows the life of the Simpson family. Started on this day back in 1989. And happy birthday to actor-comedian Eugene Levy. He is 78. Bill Pullman, also an actor, he turned 71. And now you know. In Wisconsin, you know everything goes well with cheese, especially during the holiday season. If you're looking for a little more motivation, Charity Seebecker's got it this morning with Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin.
The holiday season brings family, friends, and plenty of opportunities to celebrate. And what better way to add a little extra cheer than with cheese? Whether it's the centerpiece of a festive spread or the perfect gift for loved ones, cheese has a way of making the holidays even more special. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report and Angie Edge, Dairy Company Communications Manager for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, is joining us for this month's Check-In with Dairy Checkoff. She shares how Wisconsin cheese brings people together and makes every celebration a little more special.
Well, Charity, as you know, you and I probably both buy more cheese during the holiday season, but really thanks to the celebrations and the gifting that cheese and dairy consumption especially lifts during this time of year. We do see cheese sales that are 50% higher than average, especially the week leading up to Christmas. People are probably buying those last minute gifts, but it's also interesting to see that there are specific varieties and specialty cheeses that see more of a lift than others. So for example, varieties like Brie, Camembert, Fontina, Gruyere, Mascarpone, and Raclette, those are cheeses that really we see performing especially well.
So I've heard of some of them, and, you know, that makes me probably sound bad as being from Wisconsin and not knowing some of these cheeses, but what are some of them used for around this time of year?
Well, we see a lot of cheese boards, but we also see cheeses that are seasonal. For example, Uplands Cheese has a cheese that only comes out during the holidays, and we see a lot of seasonal varieties too. So those soft and semi-soft cheeses are especially popular. Raclette is like a beautiful cheese over potatoes or in fondue. And then we also see cheeses that have flavor varieties like maybe cranberry over the holidays.
So to meet up with this demand then and boost that brand value, Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, you guys are compiling and promoting an online gift basket collection. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that is?
Yes, Charity, we are so excited about this. Our team works directly with the cheese companies across the state. And because 90% of the Wisconsin milk is made into cheese and 90% of that is sold outside of the state's border, it's a direct-to-consumer gift basket that can benefit both the farmers and the recipients. And it's basically a one-stop shop where people can go shopping online and find gift baskets that are directly from the cheese factory without having maybe a middleman involved. And those gift baskets help drive sales by simplifying the process of shipping so that everyone across the country can receive locally produced and shippable products. And also to coordinate with that, we have a Share the Joy of Wisconsin Cheese holiday promotion that's happening in stores across the country to really help drive demand and help consumers look for that proudly Wisconsin cheese.
So is there a way to get involved with the Share the Joy campaign? Is that a hashtag I can use to kind of share that I'm enjoying my cheese this time of year?
Absolutely. You can share the joy. We invite everyone to share the joy of Wisconsin cheese this holiday season, whether that's maybe serving Wisconsin cheese at your holiday gathering or giving the gift of cheese to your friends and family. And quite frankly, there's not a better gift you can give to support local dairy farmers and to really buy local and support the local economies.
And speaking of that, you know, with Christmas, it is getting to be days away here soon. Shopping local is a great option, as you mentioned. So what ideas do you have for listeners who are interested in getting that last minute gifts?
Well, you're probably not surprised. You can go to probably any local Wisconsin retailer and find Wisconsin cheese because Wisconsin cheese is in 99% of grocery stores across the country. But if you don't have time to get out too, you can simply go online and shop locally by creating a Wisconsin cheese gift basket from your local retailer. And we also really encourage you when you're out shopping to look for that proudly Wisconsin cheese badge because it's the ultimate identification to let consumers know that it's the highest quality, winning awards, and made with Wisconsin milk.
And where can listeners go to learn more about some of those perfect pairings for this gifting this season? I know I've had cheese with some probably unique things like even Girl Scout cookies sometimes.
Yeah, so we have a one-stop shop. You can go to wisconsincheese.com. You're going to find all different recipes for the holidays. You're going to find cheese and chocolate pairings. You're going to find the latest edition of our online magazine, Great Pair Share. We have a holiday edition. And you can find lots of great recipes. So it's just a simple click away at wisconsincheese.com.
What is your favorite way to enjoy cheese during the holidays?
Oh, great question. So every cheese gathering that I go to, both sides of our families, I always bring the Wisconsin cheese board, of course. But over New Year's, our family always does a cheese fondue, which has really become a tradition of using local cheeses. And it's just a way to really celebrate together. And it's such a fun way to be festive and really enjoy your friends and family. So I'm a big fan of fondue over the holidays.
That's Angie Edge, Dairy Company Communications Manager for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, along with us for this month's Check-In with Dairy Checkoff. This holiday season, whether you're crafting the perfect cheese board, indulging in some festive recipes, or shopping for some unique gifts, Wisconsin cheese has something to elevate every celebration. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Now here's a question for you. Have you already put your Christmas tree up, or is it something you're still waiting to do? Reason I ask is with the lack of snow, these kind of cloudy overcast days, I just wonder if time is slipping through our fingers for that real Wisconsin Christmas tree. And then when you do go out to select your real Wisconsin Christmas tree, you might find your selection is a little limited on height. Only on height. Greg Hand is with the Wisconsin Christmas Tree Producers Association. He also runs and operates Hand's Christmas Tree Farm in Oregon. And he said you have to stop and think about how long it takes to raise that Christmas tree and what happens in between your purchase and when the tree's planted. He said that's one of the reasons why the height selection might be a little limited. He explains.
So tree numbers are great. We are getting caught up from the COVID years. COVID was phenomenal for the real Christmas tree industry. We were cutting everything that we could cut to supply the demand of everybody wanting to come out into the country and get away from the COVID and all of that. So finally, 4 years after, we're starting to catch up. We're starting to get some height back in the trees. And when you had to settle for a 7-foot tree, now you can get back up into the 8s and 9s. So we're excited as an industry to get a little bit caught up there and keep the demand going for live trees.
So there you go. Thank you, Greg. Greg Han. He is with Wisconsin Christmas Tree Growers Association, owns and operates Han Christmas Tree Farm out in Oregon. Never stopped and thought. All those trees that people bought during the pandemic, well, kind of shorten the supplies on the tall trees available this year. But like you said, plenty of trees are around. If you're still looking for a real Wisconsin Christmas tree, they've got a great website. Go to christmastrees-wi.org and you'll get hooked up. We're hooking up with John Heinberg, market advisor out of West Bend Total Farm Marketing in just a minute here. Not a lot to talk about. Markets are pretty quiet. Basically, our March and December corn are unchanged. January soybeans, November soybeans down about a penny. The March and July wheat are up 2 cents. Dairy had a pretty good day yesterday. Barrel cheese gained a quarter of a cent at 173. 40-pound block cheese was up 2 1/4 at 182 and a quarter. Double A butter, 3.5 cents higher at 250 a pound. Now, this morning, the January class 3 milk that goes into cheese, that's down a nickel right now, 20, 25, 100 weight. John Heinberg is next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@AmericanFoodsGroup.com.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. My savings tip for today is about meal planning. I know you've heard of it, but let's talk about it. Meal planning will save you money, it reduces impulse purchases, helps you not waste food, and it may be the very best thing you can do to cut back on your weekly spending. It also helps cut back the number of arguments we have in my house about what's for dinner. A writer of a recent Reader's Digest article said that she saved herself $500 a month on meal planning. I mean, we all eat differently, but those are some real savings. I know, meal planning can be a pain. So, I reward myself with a treat while I plan. A beer, some ice cream, maybe a recipe magazine. And in my house, the planner does not have to be the shopper. That's real motivation. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friend Trigvi Olsen in the guest host chair. And if I make it back in time, I'll join you live as well. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. News from the Center, WRCE.
A whole lot of positive news, but that's really honestly to be expected at this time of the year, isn't it, John, with end of the year books and everybody trying to get facts and details gathered together, huh?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's that time of the year, the market, in terms of the managed money and the funds, they kind of go through and square books up and clean up some positions so they can, you know, make those end of year statements look pretty good. And, you know, and obviously in the ag sector, we've had some pretty good price swings that they can move things around here. So we'll see how that kind of plays out. Plus trade just kind of gets thin. So that can lead to some extra volatility because if a market decides to start moving, there's really nobody to step in front of it one way or another, you know, to keep a market from, you know, making some big moves. So it gets to be an interesting time with the holiday trading season as we get close to the end of the year and start ringing in the new year of 2025.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. Remember their website, totalfarmmarketing.com, and their toll-free number, 800-334-9779. That's 800-334-9779. You said they've particularly lost interest in the livestock side of things, huh, John?
Yeah, at least to start the week, we saw a pretty good sell-off in all three of the livestock categories, live cattle, feeder cattle, and lean hogs. And this one purely is a money flow situation in my mind, at least this time frame. You know, you're looking at a live cattle managed money or hedge fund position that was the largest in 5.5 years on feeder cattle. They typically don't go long feeders. They actually went long on the feeder side. And then lean hogs was a record long position, you know, by nearly 40,000 contracts compared to history. If you combine the three, live cattle, feeder cattle, lean hogs, it was basically three times the five-year average in terms of length at this time window. So yesterday, we kind of got through, and so on the cattle side of it, got through the beef rib trade for the holiday. That retail buying set window kind of closed last week, saw good strength in that rib price. But then all of a sudden, yesterday, we broke to new highs to start the session, moved that February contract up well past 190, and then the market just rolled over and finished down a couple bucks and couldn't even hold that 190 level. So now we'll need to see what happens today. We saw a break in hogs yesterday, a couple dollars down on the front end. We'll see if we get some additional follow through, which I wouldn't be surprised we do, just on the money flow technical side of things, and we'll see how things finish out here in terms of getting some value off this market in terms of what the funds were doing in terms of their length.
We had everybody running for the doors early on, John, knowing that in 2025, with an administrative change and potential climate change as far as trade, we were racking up a lot of sales, especially on corn. What's going on with exports?
Yeah, that was one of the things with that last USDA report, the big shift in export demand, taking that carry out down to a very manageable 1.738 billion bushels. You know, we saw prices run March corn up to the 450 area, and boy, the sellers just seemed to kick right in terms of the producers at that time frame. And we saw a lot of corn move. I know I fielded a pile of phone calls in those couple of days there about, should I get something moved here? And obviously the answer was yes, take advantage of the rally. You know, supplies are still relatively heavy global competition could be increasing because of the raise in prices here. But then the other thing we also saw too, all of a sudden, because of where the U.S. dollar is, all of a sudden Brazil had some corn on the export market. Argentina corn became more affordable. Ukraine corn became more affordable. And to the point, last week's export sales totals were actually fairly disappointing for corn. So it's going to be one of those ones that just the global supply, the supply of the U.S. farmer, might be a bit of a wet blanket over any major rally here, just with the fact that if prices continue to rise, that demand that the USDA is still counting on could start slowing down, and then the adjustments might have to come back the other way. So that'll be something we'll need to watch going into the first quarter of 2025.
Again, John Heinberg joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report, 800-334-9779, totalfarmmarketing.com. What's happening in South America, John, as we kind of monitor waiting on snow? What are they looking at weather-wise, and how's things going down there?
And so far, the weather is very, very good in terms of there's no weather premium in that soybean market. Analysts continue to raise that crop total up now well into the low 170 million metric ton level. So we're just going to have a pile of beans getting put together here. Obviously, the next couple of weeks, a month or so, too, here will be very, very key, because now it's the January-August time frame down there in Brazil as they start to fill that crop out.
And then again, like we said, interest in their crop. Everybody worried about China's bellyache. What's going on that way?
Yeah, again, obviously, U.S. sales are starting to dry up now. Brazilian beans are trading 70, 80, 90 cents, maybe even a dollar a bushel cheaper than U.S. beans on the export market for that February, March, April, May window. So that's going to be something to watch. If those export sales dry up, this bean market may need to go find some demand.
Appreciate it, John. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us. 800-334-9779 is number. TotalFarmMarketing.com, the website. Thanks, John. Have a good week.
Sounds good. Have a good week.
John Heinberg, again, joining us live on a Tuesday morning. Up tomorrow morning. Heavens, I haven't even thought that far ahead. But you come back, we'll have something for you. Have a good Tuesday.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. So I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house. Stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. But I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The soybean industry's effort to get high-quality protein into emerging world markets. Today on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back-to-back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The World Initiative for Soy in Human Health, WISH for short, is a soy industry program started nearly 25 years ago because soybean farmers wanted to find new markets. Today, the program operates in 29 countries in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. Executive Director Gina Perry.
These populations are growing as incomes are rising. People are wanting more protein. And I've seen that in many of the conversations that I've had around the world, that they're really hungry for protein, whether it's from fish, eggs, chicken, or adding soy protein into other human foods and beverages.
Tony Melanthin is a soybean grower from Ogall, Wisconsin, and a director on the United Soybean Board. He says the WISH program personalizes the marketing relationship with foreign customers.
It's not just the relationship, but they get to know you a little bit. They know that when I'm growing my soybeans, I'm growing them on my family farm. My family lives on my family farm. So I'm producing the soybeans, not just a high quality, but safely, because my family lives here. You know, I'm not going to put my family in jeopardy for anything I do. So not only how we're producing them sustainably, but also that we are focused on quality.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, Dr. Tim Slecker. Hey, that's me filling in for Dom. Join me and some educated educators for a special episode on what's happening and what needs to happen in our classroom.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is News.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Welcome to our morning show on WRCO Radio as we begin a new week with all kinds of new subjects and things to be aware of and some really cool things going on in our community. Today we're going to focus on an upcoming program that will be going on in the area at the Richland District. And in the studio with us for the first part of the morning show is Betsy Raisler, Drug-Free Communities Project Director and Partners for Prevention Coalition of Richland County, and also namely in the Ithaca and Richland districts. Betsy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Good to have you in the studio as we close out the year here. Has it been a good year for Partners for Prevention, do you think?
It has, because we've stayed together and we're continuing to look at things that we should address. And it's great to have a group that's focused on that.
And you're making a difference in the community.